Well, today we're going to look at one of the most frustrating characters in all the Bible. This guy right here that we're going to talk about was given so much by God. I mean, all the way from his birth, he was set apart, he was anointed, he was empowered with this supernatural strength to fulfill God's calling on his life. And even though he was given so much of this power and this amazing divine calling, he, like many of us, messed up again and again and again and again. And his name was Samson. Samson was this incredibly strong man with a dangerously weak will. Over and over and over, he would break his vows. He'd break his vows to God. He was chasing the wrong women. He was touching things he wasn't supposed to touch, drinking things he wasn't supposed to drink. And to make matters worse, he goes to Supercuts and gets a really, really bad haircut when he wasn't supposed to cut his hair in the first place. One of Samson's biggest problems was that he was a person that was driven by his emotions, not by the Spirit. He was a person who refused to ask himself this one important question. And it's one that we fail to ask ourselves. How much is it going to cost? What is it going to cost? Now, it's interesting that we can ask this question all the time when it has to do with even the most frivolous of things. We go to garage sales. How much is that? Craigslist. How much is that? Purchase a home, what's the first one? How much is it? Even when we rent, how much is it? Car, how much? We always ask that. How much is it going to cost? And yet, when it comes to our spiritual lives, it's the last thing we do. And Jesus said in Luke 14:28, he says, you don't begin until you count the cost. I mean, who's going to begin construction of building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Now, isn't this true spiritually? When a person makes a decision or goes a certain direction or takes a step without carefully asking this question, how much is it going to cost me? How much is it going to cost my family? How much is it going to cost my marriage? If I start to date this person, we're not in the same area of beliefs. We're totally opposite, but they're really cute or they're really pretty. Do we ever ask ourselves, how much is it going to cost? If I'm going to jump into bed with this person, how much is it going to cost? Relationships, if I'm going to take this hit, I'm just going to take one hit. It seems like we're more concerned about how much that hit's going to cost than how much it's going to really affect us. How much is it going to cost? We never ask that question. And this is a problem we all have. And really, it's one that Samson did because, like him, we let our emotions get the best of us. We allow our emotions to become the deciding factor of the way that we live rather than letting the Spirit of God be our driving force. Because if we look at any life that's unraveled, if we look at any life that's destroyed, such as Samson's, we see that it doesn't all unravel at once. It just doesn't happen immediately in an instant. No, what happens? How do people's lives become destroyed? You know how it happens? One step at a time. One wrong decision at a time. One bad choice after bad choice, after bad choice. And so we're going to see Samson, again, given so much by God, so many opportunities, so many blessings, but bad choice after bad choice, over and over and over, till he finally blows it, big time. So if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Judges chapter 16. We're going to have some of the verses up on screen, and they'll be in your bulletins as well. Here we go. Here's Samson. Samson's the type of guy that everything he touches turns to gold. He's those guys that, hey, do you play golf? No, well, come join us. All right, he goes. He's the type of guy that for the very first time he starts hitting, but he gets the longest drive. He hits birdies. He's the 7-foot basketball player that can hit threes and got mad handles. He's that one unicorn that just does everything right. Everything he touches is gold. He starts a business, it becomes successful. He buys stocks, the stock blows up. Everything he does. And these gifts that he's been blessed with were meant to help deliver God's people. But instead of doing that, you know what? He does the very opposite. His focus is all about himself and his own desires and his own wants and his own needs. And soon enough, he starts intermingling with all sorts of women and starts to fall for this woman named Delilah. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Delilah, okay? She's a very freaky girl. The kind that you don't bring home to mother. She was a girl who was completely forbidden by God. But because he gave in to her advances, he gave in to her seduction, he now has become a prisoner of the Philistines. So here's this guy. Once has it all, everything going for him. He now finds himself being shackled. He's in prison. They even gouged out his eyes, and they put him on the grind. In other words, they're fastening these big old heavy wooden grind, and they have him grinding grain like an ox would. And he's doing this every single day, day after day. He's got this heavy load. This ridiculously heavy load, and he just walks in circles every single day. That is what his life has now become. And during this whole time that he does that, the people that were his so-called friends are constantly mocking at him. They're calling him names. They spit at him. They just joke about him. And so at this point in Samson's life, it just doesn't get any lower. He's rock bottom. How did this happen? As I mentioned in the beginning, one small step in the wrong direction after another, and he refused to count the cost. Here's what else he did, and it's one that we need to be aware of. We need to be aware, if you're taking notes, be aware of the schemes. Be aware of our surroundings. Be aware of the enemy's schemes. So Samson, at this point in his life, he's way off track. He put himself in a situation with this woman, Delilah, that's gone much too far because she doesn't love him. What she wants in this whole process is to find the secret to his strength because he's got it all. She wants to know how this is all happening. And he's totally oblivious to the schemes that she's putting on before him. And so she keeps tempting him. What is it? What is it? And he's kind of giving her these sorry answers. And she knows that it ain't the truth. And she wants to get to the bottom. She wants to use him. She wants to know where all this strength is coming from. And so she goes to this old school line that's used many times in Judges 16:15. How can you say, I love you, when you won't confide in me? Oldest line in the book, right? How many of us have either used that line or been fed it? If you really love me, you'll go to bed with me. If you really love me, you'll lie for me. If you really love me, you'll leave your spouse for me. It gets into all sorts of things. And sure enough, we fall for it. We regret it. We know we did wrong. And then we try to rationalize it to justify our sin at the same time. Why? Why do we do this? Because we want to be in control. We want to have our own desires met. We don't want God or anyone else, for that matter, telling us what to do. But please understand this, that you and I would be very wise to be aware of our surroundings, to be aware of the enemy's schemes. Samson was allowing himself to entertain this idea of falling into this sin that he knew would spell trouble. Could that be true of you and I? Can I ask you something this morning? On an average day, how aware of you are of your surroundings? How aware are you of the schemes that are happening around you? Are you constantly on guard? Are you being careful not to let even your thoughts stray? Are you especially careful in those areas where you know you struggle? Be aware of the surroundings. And number two, know that there are consequences for being in the wrong circle. Now, it's very important to note this, the very first words in verse 21. The Philistines seized him. Now, who are these guys? Well, see, these are the guys that were his so-called friends. These are the people that Samson chose to associate with. Even though God strictly forbade it. He said, this is not who you need to be around. He was trying to protect Samson. And not only did his so-called friends seize him, but they betrayed him over and over and over again. And so you can just picture Samson as he's carrying this big old load. And this is his daily thing. This is what he does every day. You can just, you already know what he's thinking. I should have obeyed God's command. I should have understood what these people were really about. I knew what they were about. I knew that they were using me. I knew that all that they wanted was to get to me. I knew it. I knew it. I should have listened to God. I should have listened to God. I should have listened to God. How many of you understand this truth? Because ultimately, you are the one who chooses who you go out with. You're the one who chooses who you allow to influence you in your life. You're the one who chooses who you allow into your inner circle of life. Because here's what tends to happen for both men and women. Women, they tend to find their value through relationships, right? For lots of women, everything's about relationships. Relationships with their spouse, relationship with their kids, their parents, their siblings, their friends. And it's this sense of, do you like me? Am I loved? Are we friends? Can we hug? You know, everything's emotional. It's relational and it's emotional. Can we cry together? Everything is relational for women. I mean, think about this. Rose and I go for dinner with a group of people. If one lady says, I'll be back, I'm going to the restroom, what do all the other women do? Get up and go to the restroom. And they'll be in there for quite a while, and us guys wonder what's going on there, but we never ask because we don't want to know what happens in there. But us guys, we don't roll that way, right? But we do like to be liked. And we value relationships that can help us accomplish things. And so we ask, do we measure up? Did we do good? Did we win? Can we conquer? This is why you can go to some of those football fan clubs. Guys that, as they walk in, you know, they're macho and no, give me my space. And the minute their team scores a touchdown, what are they doing? Jumping all over each other, hugging each other, right? That's the way guys are. We take value in that. Do we conquer? Can we win? Can we do this together? But should that be the basis of our closest relationships? No, but it usually is. And so we got to be careful who we let in. The power of influence, both negative and positive, has a major effect for those that are around us. Now, I'm not saying, don't get me wrong, I ain't saying don't hang around with non-Christian people. That's not what I'm saying. We're called to do that. I'm talking about those that you allow into your inner circle. Next, let's look at how ultimately Samson responds to his failures. Because remember, he's messed up so many times. So if you're taking notes, two responses to failure, okay? There's the natural response, which is remorse. And this, unfortunately, for a lot of us, is where we stop. Remorse. Sometimes remorse turns inward. That's where we get, I'm horrible, I'm this no good person, I'm the worst person that has ever lived, I have no future, I hate my life, and it just turns inward. There's also the type of remorse that turns outward. I'm the victim. You have this mindset, well, this wouldn't have happened if you didn't do this or if you didn't do that. I didn't ask for this. I didn't ask for that. And so it's this deep remorse. But here's a better response. Repentance. Natural response, remorse. Better response, repentance. You know what repentance is? I own it. It's my fault. I blew it. My bad. But how can I make it right? How can I make it better? Repentance is turning away from that which you did wrong and turning it towards something right. Because remember, lives aren't ruined all at once. How does it happen? One step at a time. And if you're gradually going in the wrong direction, repentance is turning around and going in the right direction. Remorse focuses on the bad. It just looks at what I did wrong, and it keeps you there, wants to keep you stuck. Repentance turns you from the sinful way and back to God's higher way. It's not, I just feel bad about this. It's, I'm turning completely to God to let Him redeem me for His divine purpose. You see, all of us, we're going to do things that we can't undo. Never mind say, we're going to do some things that we can't undo. Let me share with you a perfect example of this. You ever sent the email or a text, and right as you hit send, you're like, oh, shoot, and you try to get it back? Well, let me tell you, back in Texas, so we had a group of our leaders, and we would all text each other encouragement and just things that just kind of keep us focused. And one day, we're all hanging out, and we just had a really good dinner, and then we're all heading home, and you know, someone texts a passage, and oh man, that's a good one. And we're just kind of texting each other back and forth, and we're all there, and all of a sudden we get this image from one of those friends. Now, it wasn't crazy graphic, but it wasn't meant for us, okay? It was meant for his wife. And so immediately when we all get it, he calls me first. Dude, erase that, please. Now, I didn't mean to send that to you. As I was driving, I hit send, and I meant to send it to my wife, and I'm trying to stop it. I tried to turn off my phone, but I couldn't. He's all, dude, I'm so, he even came to my house. He was so red. He was like, please erase that. He's like, I'm not going back to church anymore. He's like, that's how much, it was gone. He sent it. And here's the deal. There's going to be some things that you cannot undo. You cannot unsend, but you can repent. You can't undo that bad deal that you did, but you can repent. Ladies, you can't unsay what you said. You can't undo what you did, but you can repent. And I believe that Samson, I think he gets to the point in his life where he gets past that remorse. He doesn't get stuck there. And he remembers who he was created to be. Because see, he wasn't created to be an entertainment for his enemies. He wasn't created to walk in circles and just do that his whole life and be mocked his whole life. That wasn't what he was created to be. He was set apart to do something significant. And my prayer is that every one of you would remember this truth, that you are not created to entertain your enemies. You weren't created to fall for his schemes. You were created to do something significant, something that would honor and glorify God with your life. So let's check out how the story ends. And so here we have Samson. He's got all these victories under his belt, and then he falls off completely because he's hanging around with the wrong people. He's hooking up with the wrong women. He's doing all the things he's not supposed to. He's in prison. He's in the bad shape, low of low. And watch how Samson just realizes that it's time to get back to what God calls him to do. Verses 25, 26. So when he stood among the pillars, and so picture this. He's in the midst of this Colosseum, okay? Lots of people, thousands of people. And there's these huge, giant pillars that hold the weight of the entire place. All right? And in verse 26, it says that Samson looks to the workers and says, "Hey, guys, can you just put my hands so I can feel the pillars so that I can lean up against it?" And then he prays this incredible prayer. He says, "O sovereign Lord, remember me. O God, just please, just strengthen me once more. Just strengthen me just once more." He says, "Please, just this once more." In other words, "I've blown it, God. I know I've messed up thousands of times, but I don't need 1,000 more chances. I just need one more. God, if you would just find it in you to just give me one more chance, just one more with your mercy, just give me strength, just this one more time." And he knew that by knocking down these pillars, he was going to take 3,000 of God's enemies out. But in order to do that, he had to sacrifice his own life as well. And so there was Samson right there. For the first time ever, you know what it was? It wasn't about Samson anymore. For the first time in his life, it wasn't about my own desires. It's not about me. And he began to push these pillars down, and thousands and thousands of thousands of God's people were saved. He became a hero. Now, this right here can easily turn into a Sunday school story, which Shelley, Joanna, and all the children's ministry leaders down there can make a better story than I can. I ain't going to go there because I want to talk truth here. And the truth is that Samson gave his all one time. The rest of his life, most of his life, wasted. Real heroes give their lives daily to God. Paul said, "I die to myself daily." And what I mean is surrender your will to God daily, not just once. Surrender your selfish ambitions daily, not just once. Let's not waste our lives like Samson did. Let's do God's will every moment of our lives. And some of you may say, "Well, man, it's too late. I've already messed up most of my life. I already wasted most of my life." But here's the thing. This is what we see in Samson's story. A failure is an event. It's not a person. And this story shows us how even in our own failures, God can still use us. Even when we're messed up, he will use us over and over again because it's not over yet. You can still be all that God has called you to be. I've even had people say, "Well, you don't understand some of the things that I've done. I can't even share them with you. If I shared them with you, it's that bad. I've messed up that bad." Well, then guess what? Then you have an incredible opportunity to make your story even much greater. For some of you, it's, I've lied, and I've spent years as an addict, or I've been locked in this pornographic world. But now you've been delivered. Do you know how much better that God looks, and how much to other people God looks because he took you out of that darkness and brought you into light, that he has redeemed you, that he has delivered you? Do you know how much greater God looks? It becomes that much more powerful. Our God is not finished with you yet. And so, my brothers and sisters, here's the thing. If we're going to go all in, then it's time for us to start pushing some of the pillars down in our life. It's time to start pushing those pillars down. What is it? What is it that you need to push down? Is it pride? Is it guilt? Is it anger? Is it lust? What is it? And here's where the things get real. It can't just be, "I want something different in my life," and not do anything different. It doesn't work that way. If you want different results, you got to do something different. You're going to have to make that call and get counseling. You're going to have to check yourself into rehab. You're going to have to confess to a trustworthy friend that you need help. You're going to have to truly surrender your life to Jesus. It can't be this back and forth anymore. It has to be this person. I don't want to be a every now and then church attender. I want to get involved in the church. I want to be the church. I want to grow spiritually. It's doing something different. It's knowing that we can't just say, I know my marriage is broken, and not take any measures to restore it. Knowing isn't enough. It's not saying, hey, I'm not going to waste another day with the kids, but I got to make this money, and I got to do this, and I got to do this work. No, let's be good parents now. And heck, I want you guys to know I get caught up in this world too. But let's do something different. Because you've got a calling on your life. You've got a calling from God Himself. So let's not wallow in the past. Let's turn away from all that. Let's start to do what God has called us to do. And you know how we do this? Be aware of the schemes. Careful who we choose to let in our hearts. And always, always, always surrender your will, your life, your passions to the will of God. And that right there, CCC, Christ Community, that right there is going all in. Would you bow your heads for prayer?